to launch into our online ministry that's happening. So good morning to those online with us and maybe even watching during the week. So God bless you. And also just want to remind you about giving. You can, for those in attendance, we have in the back places where you can drop your offering. You can mail it in. You can go online and get it there. In fact, in the weeks to come, we're going to be making a change online that will still be on Facebook, but we're also going to be live on our webpage. And so that'll be coming, and just so you can be aware of that and connect all that together. Everybody doing well this morning? I noticed we had a pregnant lady on the platform this morning. I came up right before service. And I said, "I just want you to know you're pregnant," and like she didn't know that. But I we're just praying. You know, when I see that, maybe I need to let you know what I think. When I see that, it makes me pray over that little one. It makes me think about God. Just watch over all of those details and all of those things. So it's not making fun of it all. It's actually an awareness and bring it to God in prayer and say, "God, watch over that thing." Amen. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Habakkuk chapter 3. This is part 3 that we're launching in today. We're looking at the very last chapter of Habakkuk, chapter 3, that is. If you've not been with us for the past 2 weeks, I'll give you a quick, brief overview of what we've covered for 2 weeks, but really, I'd encourage you to go back and watch those two online. Here's where it starts. Habakkuk is one of the 12 minor prophets in the Old Testament. So it's one of the smaller books in the Old Testament. God spoke to the prophet Habakkuk and said that the people of Judah are going to be judged for their sins. They had become wicked. And God was going to use a group of people who were more evil than they were. The Babylonians were going to take Judah into captivity. And Habakkuk was struggling to understand why in the world would God use the Babylonians to punish them. I mean, people worse than they were, that doesn't seem fair. And so Habakkuk complains to the Lord. Anybody ever complain to the Lord? He can handle it. Just want you to know that. But by the way, the Lord holds his ground in the midst of that. And Habakkuk is going to go through a valley experience in his life. He's having a crisis of belief, and that is trying to reconcile how he thought God would operate and now how God is actually working and doing things in his present world. In chapter 2, all Habakkuk can really do now is wait on the Lord and see how God is going to carry all this out, because God told him it's for an appointed time. And Habakkuk has got to settle in his heart. He's going to trust God and what he's doing and why God's doing it that way. So in chapter 3, even though the circumstances do not change and everything on the surface seems to be status quo, something happens inside of Habakkuk. Change happens. In fact, Habakkuk's faith and his worship of God goes to a new level. In fact, it's like the principle of James chapter 1 that we've read for the two prior weeks. We'll read it again. It comes alive in Habakkuk. James 1 verse 2, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds." Don't you love scriptures like that? Amen. Why? Because you know, what does it go on to say? That the testing of your faith produces perseverance. So what are we going to do? We're going to let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. You see, there's a lot of people who want to have a really intimate faith with God, but they don't recognize that God will often use valleys in your life to prove his faithfulness. And Habakkuk let God continue to work in him, even when Habakkuk didn't like the circumstances. But Habakkuk persevered in his faith and became a lot more mature in his faith. We're going to see that in chapter 3. So let's dive into chapter 3, verse 1. Here's what verse 1 says. a prayer of Habakkuk the prophet on Shigionoth. Now, that last word, that's the Bible Gateway pronunciation. In fact, it's not clear what this word Shigionoth really means, but another form of the word is used in Psalm 7, and really that's all we have of this in the Bible, but it refers to a meaning of some type of musical term. Not sure what that is. But what we do know is what we're about to read is a prayer. And it's a prayer that is written in song form. Look at verse 2. He says, Lord, I have heard of your fame. Then he says, I stand in awe of your deeds, Lord. And then what does he say? I want everybody to read this next part with me. Ready? Repeat them in our day. In our time, make them known. In wrath, remember mercy. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word as we walk through your living word today. Lord, I pray that we, our hearts will be teachable. And Lord, that we will grasp what the Holy Spirit is telling the church. In Jesus' name, amen. In this verse, too, Habakkuk is saying, God, I remember what you've done in the past. I've heard about your miracles. I've heard about your power. I've heard about your glory. I remember them. And I stand in awe and admiration and respect regarding everything you've done. Church, I don't know about you, but there are seasons of my life that I have sensed the presence of God stronger than at other times. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You're just kind of like the presence of God. And it's like I want that back. Times where it seems his power was more evident in our life. Times where we were moved by God. I long for those moments and those seasons to happen as often as God will allow. And so I kind of understand what Habakkuk was saying here. He's saying, repeat those things in our day. What you used to do, do it again. Do it again, God. In fact, the word repeat in the Hebrew is the word, y'all like this one, you're like it, it's haya. I mean, maybe we ought to say that more often in its own original language. Haya! It means to revive or to make alive. Habakkuk was saying, God, I remember how famous you are and how you've worked in the past, and I'm asking you to haya! Think about it. Revive that work in our day. Do it again. Last week I talked about what do you do when you're in the valley. The question this week is how do you move out of the valley? Especially when the circumstances aren't changing. They're not improving. How do you move by faith out of the valley? Today I want us to see three things that Habakkuk the prophet does that we can apply directly to our lives. The first one is this. Ready? Everybody say this with me. Here it is. We are going, oh, back it up. You moved ahead of me. We are going to remember what God has done. Everybody say it again. We are what God has done. We're going to look back and remember God's faithfulness, God's character, and God's goodness. Amen? This is exactly what Habakkuk is doing in this chapter. He's looking back at some very tangible and visible things that trigger spiritual memories of who God is and how God works. Let me give you an example of how that works for a moment. How many know that smells can trigger memories? That could be a good smell or a bad smell. Maybe remember going to grandma's house, and maybe for you it was a pie that was baking or some smell from the kitchen. Remember that? Or maybe it was from a closet. It was mothballs. How many remember mothballs? How many remember pies? Okay, more mothballs than pies. For me, when I go home and my wife is making a roast in the crock pot, I walk in the door and I smell that roast, and it actually brings me back to my childhood. When our family would come home from church, most Sundays, my mom had made a roast in the crock pot. And I remember walking in, and that's the memory it brings back. I don't know what it might be for you, but there are certain things that could trigger those memories. In church, for those who have been raised in church, it could be a song or a hymn. If you know this one, sing it with me. Ready? It says, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I prove him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. For me, that song brings back memories. And maybe it does for some of you. Just recently, there was an old chorus that has been going through my mind for about 2 weeks, and I've been singing it in the car. Be glorified, be glorified. Y'all remember that? Maybe for you it's majesty. How about shout to the Lord? Remember those songs? You're a good, good father. Some of our newer things, like the blessing that for us has kind of become a new song, yet it's just scripture. It says, may his favor be upon you and your children and their children. Amen. Those songs trigger. In fact, they should trigger spiritual things in our life. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You with me this morning? It could be a song, a smell, it could be a place that you gather in. A lot of things can trigger that, but for Habakkuk, it's a valley. It caused him to go down the memory journey to remember the goodness and the power of God. In verse 3, he says this, God came from Teman, the Holy One from Mount Paran, Selah. Now, in the NIV, if you're looking at NIV, Selah is in the footnote, but I want you to know Selah is really a part of Scripture. Selah's meaning is not completely understood, but our best understanding is to pause in the music and think about it. Think about it. God came from Teman, the Holy One from Mount Paran, Selah. And then Habakkuk continues, his glory covered the heavens and his praise filled the earth. Now, about this moment, though, you might be scratching your head going, what does Teman and Mount Paran have to do with anything? And why do I need to stop and think about that? You have to understand, to the people of God in the Old Testament, they would have known exactly what Habakkuk was talking about. Habakkuk used two reference points to remember the involvement of God with the people of God. Teman was a place to the east that had to do with the rising of the sun each morning. And to remind us that from the rising of the sun to the setting of the same, may the name of the Lord be praised. And then Moses, in his final blessing in Deuteronomy 33, he says these words. He said, the Lord came from Sinai and dawned from Seir upon us. He shone forth from Mount Paran. He came from the 10,000s of holy ones with flaming fire in his right hand. Both of these references would have reminded the people of God of the Lord's power. He had been faithful to them to shine upon them with the rising of the sun every day, as well as revealing his personal glory to them at Mount Sinai and from Mount Paran. And Habakkuk is remembering who God is. And church, it's important for us to remember who God is. That's why God so many times in the Old Testament told his people, build an altar. Why? So you can remember what I did. And of course, Jesus at the Last Supper, what did he do? He said, I want you to do this in remembrance of me. And that's why every time we partake of communion, we remember Jesus and his death and his sacrifice for us. And we do so until he comes again. We are to remember what God has done. Amen? And this is what Habakkuk wanted his readers to, when they read this prophecy, to sing this prayer. Remembering the fame and the glory and the majesty of God, even when you don't understand why God's working the way he is. Listen to verse 4, 5, and 6. His splendor was like the sunrise. Rays flashed from his hand where his power was hidden. Plague went before him. Pestilence followed his steps. He stood and shook the earth. He looked and made the nations tremble. Anybody ever got that look from your mama? Anybody got that look from your wife? Don't say anything. No, he looked. You got to understand, there is power there. And the ancient mountains crumbled and the age-old hills collapsed. But what? But he marches on how long? Forever. Habakkuk remembers that God is from everlasting to everlasting. And then in verses 7 through 15, Habakkuk goes through an explanation of remembering how God had displayed his glory throughout nature. Church, we need to remember what God is capable of and ask him to revive that in our day. Make it alive today. I remember when I gave my life to Jesus at age 8 years of age. I remember getting up from an altar on a Sunday night at a church and feeling free from my sins as an 8-year-old. I remember when God filled me with the Holy Spirit, and then my speech began to improve. For those who may not know, I was born with cleft palate. That meant I was missing both the hard and the soft palate inside my mouth. And so I grew up with a speech impediment, but I want you to know that God has been faithful and chosen to use me in spite of a speech impediment. I remember going to Bible college and yelling at God when I thought he would never, ever allow anybody to be my wife. Guys, anybody ever been there? And then God sent Tammy into my life the very next year. I remember when God healed my neck after an injury for several years. I couldn't hyperextend my neck, and I was just praising God one night, and all of a sudden I'm like, I have no pain, and my neck was fully healed. I remember our daughter Autumn, 9 weeks old, and we needed a miracle in her life, and God showed up in several special ways to touch her life. Listen, God has been faithful, and I do not ever want to forget those things he's done in my life. When you get in a valley and you're ready to move out, just begin to remember who God is and what he's done. You can say, God, I remember your glory, I remember your deeds, I remember your power. And by the way, I'm going to ask you to renew them, revive them in our day. I know you've done it before, God, and I believe you can do it again. Amen. So number one, read it with me again. We are going to remember what God has done. And secondly, we're going to do this. Read it with me. We are going to accept what God is doing. Proverbs 3 reminds me, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not, what? On your own understanding. Romans 8:28 reminds me, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. Now, understand that doesn't mean that we can't pray and ask God for him to work in our lives. But we have to trust and rely on what God is doing. He has never failed. He's never misstepped in any way. Though you cannot see it, we have to trust him in everything. Listen to how Job puts it. Job 13:15. Though he what? Does that sound like a happy moment? Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Psalm 23, David said, even though I walk through the valley or through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Church, God knows what he's doing, but we can still ask him for a miracle. We can still pray to him. Philippians 4:6 tells us, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, every valley, everything you go through, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Bring them to God. It's okay. Keep praying. Keep communicating with God. Ask for his touch. Say, God, revive it in this day because I remember what you've done. But in the long run, we're going to accept what God is doing. We're going to accept his purpose because I know he's working it all out for good, even if I do not like it. You can see this, how it came about in Habakkuk's life in verse 16. Here's what he says. I heard, and my heart pounded. My lips quivered at the sound. Decay crept into my bones, and my legs trembled. Yet, I heard what you're going to do. I'm going to accept what you said is going to happen. Yet, I will wait patiently for the day of calamity to come on the nation invading us. Habakkuk had to get to a place that he looked truth squarely in the face and said, this is not going to be fun, but I trust God even though I do not understand it. Habakkuk said, I've got to trust the sovereign hand of God. He trusted God to watch over the people who were going to go into captivity, but he also trusted that God would fulfill his promise to deal with the Babylonians. Sometimes things are going to happen that we don't like, but we've got to put our hope in God. So number one, what are we going to do again? We are going to remember what God has done. Number two, we are going to accept what God is doing. And number three, we are going to trust what God is going to do. We remember what he did. We accept what he's doing. And I trust in what you're going to do. Verse 17 and 18 of Habakkuk 3. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vine, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls. Habakkuk is basically saying, though I have no reason to rejoice at all. But then he declares this in verse 18. And I want you to read it with me again. Verse 18, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. Even though I know what you're going to do and what's coming and how you've declared it, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful. In your personal life, it might be, even though your bank account is lower than you like, yet we'll rejoice in the Lord. Is that where you're going to live? Even though you've prayed for a healing touch upon somebody to get better and nothing changed, are you still going to rejoice in the Lord? Even though many of us may be concerned about the future of the United States of America and who should lead the country, what are we going to do no matter what? We're going to rejoice in the Lord and trust in him. Even though I don't like what's going on right now in America, even though I don't understand it all, yet I don't know how God is working and what he's doing in our time, what am I going to do? I'm going to rejoice and trust and find my joy in the Lord my God. Amen? Amen. Pastor James, would you come and the worship team? Let me tell you, every single one of us need to learn to move to this level of faith. We need chapter 3 faith. But I'll tell you this, it's hard to have chapter 3 type of faith if you've not had a chapter 1 question. Or if you've had a chapter 2 waiting. Because God works so much, some of his spiritual work in us while we're in the valley. He doesn't always work that way in the mountaintop. It's in the valleys that God proves his faithfulness and his character and his goodness. Listen, I've been serving God now since I was 8 years old, but my faith was really young then. But after now serving for 32 years in full-time ministry, I can say this. I've walked with Jesus enough yesterdays that I can trust him with all my tomorrows. I'm telling you that God is trustworthy. And the psalmist puts it this way in Psalm 33. We put our hope in the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him, our hearts rejoice. For we trust in his holy name. Let your unfailing love surround us, Lord. For our hope is in you alone. In Habakkuk 3:19, Habakkuk wraps up his prayer this way. He says, the sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights. You see, when you put your trust in the Lord, he steadies your footing. And he allows your feet to stand firm again. So why? You can move from the valley to the mountaintop. If we would just declare who God is and trust what he is doing and what he will do, God brings us out of the valley. Why? Because we begin to stand where God wants us to stand, but looking to him, not the mountain where we're standing. Our problem is we just look at the top of the mountain where we want to be. We need to look at the one who owns the mountain. Maybe you've never put your faith in Jesus. Maybe you've never known to trust in him. But today, you can ask him to be Lord of your life. It's not just a prayer that says, God, I believe in you and I want you to forgive me, but God, I want you to be master of my life. Why? Because I know what I've seen what you've done. And I'm going to accept what you're doing and I believe what you are going to do. If that's you today, I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer with me and ask Jesus to be Lord of your life. And after you've done that, listen, I want you to tell somebody. Let the confession of your mouth let others know that Jesus is Lord of your life. Would you all just pray this with me today? And if you're online and you just pray this, then call. Let somebody know what God is doing in your life. Would you pray this? Say, Heavenly Father, save me from my sins. I turn from my sin. And I ask you to be Lord of my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. And teach me to live by faith. I believe Jesus died for me. And I believe he rose again. So I can live for you. Thank you for my new life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 Praise God. I think the last part, though, of verse 19 is also important. It may seem really insignificant, maybe to you, but it finishes off this way. For the director of music on my stringed instruments. Basically, Habakkuk was saying, I want you to put this to music. I want the director of music to lift this song and let it ring, because if you do, you'll remember it. Isn't it interesting how music helps us remember lyrics and songs? And how many of you know Amazing Grace? How many of you know How Great Thou Art? Yeah. Why? Those songs live there because you put them there. Because you sang them over and over and over again. Church, you need to put the message of chapter 3 and this prayer into your heart and your mind, and you'll need to do it over and over again. Habakkuk wanted you to remember God is faithful. If I could just sum it all up, God is faithful. Church, God's word will always be true. You will always find your strength and your hope in the Lord, for only he can take you to new heights. Amen? So what are we going to do? We're going to remember what God has done. We're going to accept what God is doing, and we're going to trust what God is going to do. Church, Jesus is coming soon. Jesus is coming soon. And I don't want to get lethargic. I don't want to get complacent about that promise. He is going to do it. And I cannot allow myself in this world to become despondent and disheartened by all the circumstances, by all the politics. I'm telling you, Jesus is coming soon. And I trust that God is going to do it. Lord, revive it in this day. I remember your promises from past. I trust what you're doing right now. So revive your work, O Lord. Revive your work and complete what you said you would do. And he's coming again. So church, I'm going to invite you to stand with me this morning. I want you to lift these words to this song. We sang it already, but I want it to get into your heart. I want it to ring all week long and all life long. He is faithful. Faithful you are. Faithful forever you will be. Faithful you are. All your promises are what? Yes, and so be it. So be it. Amen. Let's sing it together.
Oh, faithful you are.
See, I don't want you to get all stirred up. I want you to just settle and say, God, get my footing right. I am firm because I'm resting not only what you did and what you're doing, but what you're going to do. Amen? Can you sing this?
And I will rest in your promise.
What's our confidence?
My confidence.
Is it your faithfulness?
Oh, is your faithfulness.
You've got to live with that kind of confidence in your life. God has never failed. Never. Never. Heavenly Father, we trust that what you're doing and working in our lives is for your glory. So whatever we go through, whatever valleys, teach us to remember who you are, and that we'll accept what you're doing, and Lord, we'll believe what you're going to do. We give you thanks in all things. Amen. Next week, church, I'm starting in the 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. In fact, I kind of began to look at it yesterday and walking through it. And next week could be a challenging message for you, because what we're doing as a body of believers is not a game. It's not a club. We are redeemed people. And God has a purpose for you. And so we're going to walk through it, because God is writing to his church, because he wants his church. And I believe not just the church of yesterday, but that church, because it's just people of God, need to hear it today. And so we're going to step into 1 Thessalonians next week, and God's going to help us grow as people of God. Amen? Amen. God bless you, and have a Jesus-filled week. God bless.